money, Jordan Belfort. Stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the molly and I think it's be my third.
What is going on, DGen Nation? Tyler Tambolin here, bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast. This week for the Worldwide Technology Championship, have a special guest fill in this week. Kenny's going to be out, so we got our guy Degenerate 75 back, my guy James. You guys know we're doing football shows every week right now on Tuesday, so we'll talk more on that in a little bit. But James, bring you in, man. We got to talk all things this week and then a little bit about what's going to happen with the Listener League, what's coming up. I'll talk about after, but I'll bring you in first, man. How you doing this week? What's going on?
I mean, pretty good. Other than the fact that, like, I'm realizing that me and Pat Mayo's brains work too much alike, because every time I see this, I always think of Step Brothers Worldwide. And then I saw Pat already tweeting that out, and I'm so pissed off because I thought that was going to be my funny thing on the stream this week, and now Pat's already stole my great idea. But other than that, I am excited that golf's back. Yeah, I'm in football mode too, but it's not so bad Wednesday to just stop, focus on golf for a day, and then, you know, enjoy a nice four-day sweat. Well, two-day sweat if, like, you know, all our guys miss the cut.
Yeah, that happens. We talked a little bit pre-show about that. You always give it the old conversation piece of a good kick in the nuts. So hopefully anyone that's here knows all about that probably, and they'll be back for it. But we are degenerates. We do this for a reason. Speaking of degenerates, talk a little bit about dgen75.com, your site, everything you've got going on. You mentioned Wednesday. I've got a show with Andy. We go just before you on Wednesday. It's a nice little two-hour window you can put together. But talk about what you guys got going on the site right now, and then talk about what you got going on Wednesday in the time, Lord's time zone, so everybody knows.
Yeah, so the stream is always 7 o'clock in the Lord's time zone, right after you and Andy's show. Probably the best 2 hours. I mean, really, if you did nothing for PGA all week, just watch those 2 hours of golf, you're going to get 99.9% of the stuff you need to know. And the other 0.1 is just probably you not being a dumbass whenever you make your lineups. From there, DGEN75 is just my site. It is a PGA-first site. I would be lying if I said any different. Yes, we do college football, we do NFL, and we are adding NASCAR. But PGA is my baby. I've been doing it for a long time, grinding those streets to try to help people get a little bit better at the process. It's not a place where I'm giving you a ton of picks and stuff like that, but just trying to help you deal with the constant kick in the nuts that is PGA DFS. But damn, it's fun.
Should we give the spoiler alert since only like 10 people are going to listen to the show during this swing season?
I mean, what? Oh, towards the what? I don't want to.
When the actual PGA season comes back, there might be a little something, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, we're already doing our show on Tuesdays right now for the NFL preview, and it's looking like we're just going to go ahead and just carry that on over to golf. So, for the 12 of you listening, big news. If you like the course preview show on Monday, we're going to do it just like we do the NFL show, rotating back and forth, doing a course preview, gauging price reactions, and getting those first thoughts going on a Monday. Because to me, PGA is even though it's only a four-day event, it's a week-long event for me.
Yeah, I've always treated it like that my whole life, really. It's a weekly event. Just like, that's why I was even back in the day, I was working Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, or it was Monday to Saturday, whatever it ended up being, depending on the job. I was loving PGA DFS and NFL DFS because I can just focus on them in the evenings, put the time in, get stuff ready, get the lineups in, that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's exciting. We're doing it. You guys can find us right now every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm speaking now, so we're going to say Eastern time zone, even though I'm in the Atlantic time zone, which is crazy. But that's the show we do for football. We'll be back Mondays for a golf show during the regular season. So I'm excited for that. That's going to be amazing. Like you said, lots going on at DGEN 75 college football. You got the Rosetta Stone tool. You've got all the other stuff going on. And if NASCAR is on the way, that's the nice piece that goes with my site, our sponsor, ShipItNation.com. You guys can check it out. ShipItNation.com, promo code Mayo, gets you 10% off at a huge weekend in the NFL, over $400,000 across the community. And that's taking out, I had a good day, Hoop had a good day. People don't like to give you, here's the thing, James. Here's how it works. If we have a good week, oh, it's only those guys had a good week. Today we posted, we always put the members first, show it off. People are like, yeah, but how much of those winnings belong to you and Hoop? It's like, no, that's the whole point. We took those. Right. You can see it. All the other stuff is there. You can't win, but a lot of people did win. So that's the key. That's the good news. We talk process. It's not picks and plays. You're going to go through. There's education courses, all the sports, one price. You'd be able to go check it out, shipitnation.com. Use promo code Mayo. Before we hop into it here, just want to talk really quickly about our Listener League. So 3 weeks left. Now, the Bermuda Championship and the RSM Classic. That's 3 weeks straight we've got of this show and the content and everything that's going with it. But for the Listener League, this is the third last Listener League of the season that we wrapped to get into the Tournament of Champions. So it's 300 people. It's only $200 up top, but it's reduced rake, same as always. Smaller for the swing season, but a win counts. It's like when Tony Finau goes and plays somewhere random with no good players and wins, and everyone's like, oh, Finau got a win. Some people don't give him credit. Some do, but on the records, it shows. Same thing here. You will get into the Tournament of Champions if you win the Listener League this week. It is on my X/Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and you can check it out there. Go join up. It's a $5 three max. Get in it. James, I got to ask you, what do you call it now, X or Twitter?
I mean, I just always call it Twitter, and it's just like, I don't even think about it. It didn't even cross my mind. I know they changed and they rebranded. It's just what I do. I'm sorry. I'm a trained monkey.
It's fair. I get it. But some people said, oh, it's been this long now. You got to switch the name up. X is easier, all this stuff. But I think most people know it as Twitter, so might be the best. I'm probably going to just throw a poll up this week and see. I'm just curious what everybody thinks on that. Talk to me a little bit about this event. Give me sort of I always call it a grand scheme overview. What you're seeing, what you might like, what stats you're looking for. We don't need to go too heavy into this. We don't have Kenny with the full course preview, but you can just give me an idea of what your thoughts are early on heading into this week.
I think the biggest thing that I'm thinking, because we've never seen this course before, right? So it's a whole lot of projecting, which, you know, at PGA DFS, a lot of times we'll have a course history or at least a tournament history, right? And we don't have that with this one because this is worldwide. And that doesn't exist. What I'm really thinking I'm going to run with is two big things. I think everybody's already talking about bombers this week, right? And if I know anything about this community, every time somebody gets on board with a narrative, it's usually wrong. So I will happily go the other way and not just play bombers this week. And the other thing is I'm going to kind of treat this a lot like those like weird offbeat tournaments, you know, like the Barracuda and the Bermuda and those weird tournaments they do during the year that are opposite of the big event going on, whether it's the Scottish Open or the Match Play or whatever. I think this is going to be very resort-style type golf like that, where guys are just going to absolutely roast the course and guys who are good at Pass Palom, right? Because Pass Palom seems to be every resort course. I'm not a big grass guy, but I do know that that is a very unique type of grass, not only in the fairways but on the greens.
Yeah, one thing about this, I wish it wasn't this time of year. This would be a great event to go to. Cabo is very nice. One of my favorite places in the world. Been there a few times, and it's one of the best spots to vacation, visit, enjoy, hang out, adults type spot. So if you just went there with some friends or a significant other, whatever it might be, you'd get some up close and personal time with these golfers. I can't imagine it's going to be packed there. It's going to be a good time, but you'd have lots of ways to get in and around and see the golfer and golf and the golfers. So I wish it wasn't this time of the year, but we'll get back to it. Let's dive right in, man. We're not going to have any story time with Tyler today or with you. Hello. Kenny's not here, so we'll save that for next week when he's back. But let's hop in to these tiers. And the upper tier, we've got Åberg, however people want to pronounce it now. But Ludvig, all the way down to Lucas Glover, $10,100 Lucas Glover. What are you doing here in this 10.1 and up range?
So first of all, it's nice to see them actually pricing some guys up. Åberg needs to be over 11,000 in these fields. The guy is noticeably better than all these other guys. And when he was at 10,700, like DraftKings, you're not even trying. Mm-hmm. So that's my first takeaway, is not only that he's over 11,000, but that we have five guys over 10,000, which I really like, because to me, you want DraftKings to make this competitive and to make it a real game, you need to price up the studs to make it punitive when people try to jam two or heaven forbid three of them into a lineup, right? So that's my first takeaway. I think that there's three real big studs in this field. I think Tigala, Young, and Åberg are a noticeably talent level more than a guy like Jaeger and Glover. I know Glover's got like the magical cheater putter now and all that, but I mean, it's still Lucas Glover, man. We know what we're getting our hands on here. So to me, it's those big three guys up top. I don't think you really want to probably put two of them in a lineup together just because of what it will do to the bottom end of your lineup. So you're really going to have to make your stand up there. That'd be my big takeaway.
Yeah, I like the second piece, especially because if I look down, once you get to like 9,500 down to 8K, I actually have some interest. There are some guys in there this week that I could play. So I like just picking your spot up top. I wonder your thoughts on this, though, because obviously, like you said, those three at the very top look the best. The stats models, Fantasy National, places like that, like Jaeger and Glover, when you look over the last 50. So do you think that matters? Do you think we still see the ownership go there? Because the projection sites don't really like Glover or Jaeger, but there's that. And then the other angle is people remember, you know, what have you done for me lately? What just happened at the last event? Remember Xander at the top failed, and the guy, the pivot right below him, Morikawa, comes through and just boat races the thing. Could that be Cam Young to Ludvig this week? Give me your thoughts on those two at the top, and then we'll keep it moving.
Yeah, so Cam Young is just like, I think the guy's a fraud. I'm always selling on him, but I truly feel like he's going to get some wins. And this would be like the perfect time for him to get a win at a slapdick like event that nobody's there and everybody would be like, see, he is a winner. So I'm pretty high on Cam Young this week. It just fits every narrative I want. He's a dude that I don't think of him as a long iron player, which I think is going to be particularly important this week, but I just feel like this is the kind of tournament he's going to win. And when nobody, even if he's not a good course fit for me, sometimes my narrative can override that because I don't really think that we know much about how many of these guys are playing, because we haven't seen some of them all the way since back to August.
Yeah. I haven't seen him for a long time, but it's funny because he kind of fits that model. What I was just joking about with Finau. That would be exactly what happens, right? Cam Young would come here and win. People would say, see, he's talented. And other people would say, well, yeah, when he's playing at some course randomly with all these scrubs, like he beat what was put in front of him. Like, what do you want him to do? And if that's how it goes, that's how it goes. We are still allowed to make fun of him, of course. But yes, the guy who, what was the nickname they said on PGA? That Big Daddy. They were calling him, and his wife was like, Big Daddy, wow.
Cam Young was, people were calling Cam Young Big Daddy?
There's a video of it, man. The PGA posted it out there. You gotta check it out and be up on things. This thing was hilarious. So, yeah, they're always trying to post out content. Obviously, they get trumped by the DP World Tour when it comes to that, but they could take some pointers. But they're trying. I think you're right, though. I think that's how it's going to come down for me as well. I guess I'm always a sucker for Steven Yeager, and then I go and see, like, all these stats. He can score, right? He can make birdies. He can do all this. If we think it's going to play like that, that would just be the one thing. I didn't dig too heavily into it, but do you see like the fairways here, what they're like?
Yeah, they're monstrous. They're like, you can like land a jumbo jet on them. Like I could hit these fairways and I'm a sprayer.
That's why I thought I read that, but I just want to make sure. So get some clarification, because that's the only issue I ever really have with Yeager, even with Thigala. That's really what it is, where like, they could get a little wiry off the tee. So definitely don't hate those guys there. 10-7 and 10-2 kind of be my thoughts there. Anything else in this upper range?
Just one thing is I think like talking about how these guys do in stats models is not going to affect their ownership this week. My narrative has always been in the swing season, people aren't looking at stats. They're listening to their show. They're going with what their tout says, and that's what they're playing, because it's just people are not that focused on PGA right now. They're going to listen to a couple shows Wednesday and toss their lineups in based on that, not because of what Fantasy National or whatever their site is says.
Okay, good. I forgot that I asked you that question, because that is what I was wondering as well. That's, again, like you said, kind of a spot where you could just spread it out then based off of it. But I think that is true. And definitely what we see swings the ownership in these swing season events. And so three to go, including this one. Three to go to Dumpy Bo. Bo Hostler, 9,900 down to Luke List. We got a, somewhat interesting 9K range with some of these names in here. But I think I know where the ownership is going to go. Where do you think the ownership is going to go? And then who are some of the guys in this range you like?
Goodness, I will let me lead with who I like. I think I like Thomas Dietrich. Thomas Dietrich is, I personally think, will probably be one of the lower owned in this range, and that's part of the reason I like him. And the other one is, I just think he kind of plays good. If I'm going to run with that whole Paz Palum alternate course narrative, he's a guy that seems to always do pretty well at those alternate courses. So that would be a guy I'd be interested in. As far as where ownership's going to go, I have no idea. I guess probably Dumpy Bo's been playing well, so I guess he'll be popular. And then JJ Spong, because everybody loves that guy, and yeah, he's from California, and this looks like it's in the California of Mexico, so like maybe that's a narrative.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think also Akshay will be popular at 9,200, but then I agree with you on the others. Spong, Hostler, Akshay is where I think that the ownership goes in this range.
I know Griot won't be popular. I know that for sure.
Who's that, Griot?
Griot, yeah. No chance he'll be popular.
Yeah, I could get behind it. I mean, I don't mind him. I like my Canadian guy, Adam Svensson, as well. Even Luke List, Chris Kirk. Like, didn't Luke List just have a...
Yeah, he just won. Three weeks ago.
After that came ATL, like even after that. So he's been on a little run of his own. So maybe he gets some of the love, too, just based off of that. But I'll be spreading it out in here. I'll probably make more stands up top with those guys that I said and then just mixing it in. But I like Griot. I like that call. Dietrich, I think, fits the mold. I just, Thigala, Dietrich, like, could you start a lineup with Thigala and Dietrich? That seems like very risky and aggressive.
Yeah, you definitely awesome. Could if you enjoy losing money. No, I, for real, in a tournament like this, I don't think that matters. I would say this just to add on about Luke List. Don't forget, like, if I'm buying the whole long iron narrative that it's going to be 150 plus is going to be almost all of your approach shots, then who flushes a long iron better than Luke List? Like that's Luke List's game right there, right? And you have a pretty easy to read slow greens, which I think takes away his biggest liability. So if you're looking for some Luke List selling points, there you go. And another one on Emiliano Grillo. I think most Americans don't even realize that he's from Argentina, so they probably just think he's Mexican because he speaks Spanish. So, like, they're going to be like, you know, there's your narrative right there.
Yeah. You can't, but you don't ever play Bo, do you?
Dumpy Bo? I mean, I Dumpy Bo's easy. You play him at Showdown. That's it. He can never put four rounds together, but he will always go nuclear hot for one or two rounds a tournament. Just play him at Showdown and thank me later.
He is trending right now, though. A seventh and then a second leading into this.
Yeah, go look at his rounds within that. I promise you he had two nuclear rounds and two just, like, spun-his-wheel rounds.
Yeah, I don't hate it. That's the only other one. I agree with you pretty much on everything else. I was going to look up Chris Kirk as well. What's he been up to?
Well, that's a good question.
Has not been playing here for a while, so, you know, he'd be a tournament-only play, but he has some of the stats that line up. But, again, I don't know if that's going to be a big enough determining factor, but he is – the reason
isn't Cabo isn't a party place down there?
Yeah, I think the bigger thing for me, though, is where he's at on the board. Like, he's squeezed between Akshay and List. And so I think that'd be a spot where you could just fit him in and play him and take a shot.
Gotcha.
Anybody else in this range that you want to touch on before we move to the eights?
I don't think so.
All right. Justin Suh down to Taylor Pendrith. What do you got here in this range?
Definitely not Justin Sucks. He's that guy can only putt. I'm for real. He can hit it off the tee and he can putt, and go watch the rest of his game. It'll make you want to rip your eyeballs out. He is so infuriating to watch on Shot Tracker. That's just my personal bias coming out right here. I cannot believe my dude, Chris Goddard, a Sooner, which, you know, I'm a Sooner fan. I was so excited to play him. I thought, oh, he's going to be 7,200. No, he's 8,200. I cannot believe he is this expensive. He seems a little overpriced, but maybe that's going to end up being a blessing in disguise because he's overpriced. Perhaps he won't get as owned as he probably should be. I like Chris Goddard. I'm a Chris Goddard truther, so I'm probably going to play him no matter what. And I would say the other guy that just kind of fits what I'm looking for, Davis Thompson. I know he has a big cheesy smile, but I swear to God, that guy is trending, and he just feels like a guy that is going to get a win. That'd be my two in that range.
I definitely like him for sure. Goddard, I think, is going to get love either way, though, just because you mentioned pretty much anything will go his way, right? The narrative of things, like you said, the bombing it out there, all these different angles. And even with the ownership, or even with the price bump, you may still see the ownership. But I do think Putnam is going to pull a little bit away from him. I already heard and read a little bit about Putnam here. A couple other guys I like in this range, I guess I could play some Keith Mitchell. I'm not very high on Suh like you either, but I could play some Keith Mitchell and some Mark Hubbard. I think Mark Hubbard, resort courses, scoring, go low. It's kind of like you mentioned, maybe not the same results of what we've seen lately. Obviously, Bo Hostler's been playing some good golf, but it just reminds me of him for some reason when he goes out there. Just, you know, even him, 17th, 6th, and 31st, three of his last four. It's like a cheaper version, a little bit cheaper version. He goes out, it's like one nuclear round. He doesn't quite do enough, but he does enough to keep his card, get money, get paid. His brother talks about it all the time on Twitter, calling Twitter now. And, you know, he's always in the mix enough. And at 8,500, that's just slightly above the average price. I could see him being in the mix here just a little bit, too. Anything else on him?
Oh, no, but I do have a big narrative. If I get word that Matt Kuchar is taking a local Mexican caddy as for it, I am going to play him 100% because then I know he will win because he will be motivated by the fact that he doesn't have to give his caddy 10%. So that'll, because Matt Kuchar loves the money. And if he can just, you know, slip a $20 bill to a guy after he wins a million, you know, Kuchar's going to be motivated that way.
I honestly don't remember the full argument Kenny and I had at this point, but that was one of like the first times on this pod that we ever had a back and forth real argument about something, because I was so heated the way he was seeing it, the way I was seeing it. I was like, man, here's the thing. I think it was that I was saying, I get it that he's cheap, that he's a cheap fuck, but I said, he made the deal. Like, if you work out a good deal with someone, it happens all the time with affiliate deals and things in content and stuff like that. Like, the deal's the deal. There's what we worked out. You can still be an asshole and a loser and cheap and all these things, but I also understand you sticking to the deal and saying, we made the deal, it's this. And so that was kind of the gist of it, just a little bit, I think, there. I'm sure, you know, he remembers it better, but it was definitely around that.
So, yeah, let us get word that he has one of those local Mexican caddies. I'm all in on Kuchar.
Yeah, all right, let's move on. Let's go Ben Griffin down to Vince Whaley. And I should note, too, right there at 7,400, Joel Damon, WD today, and down at 7,000, Kevin Streelman. So far, only two WDs at the time of this pod, so just to note that. But let's talk upper 7K range, 7,500 up to 7,900. What do you got in here?
I mean, this is actually a pretty good range. I would love for, like, the fourth guy in my lineup to be falling in this range because there's a lot of dudes that are jumping out. Cam Champ is just a swing season god. Just accept it. But I do afraid he's going to be massive chalk with the bomber narrative being out there. Sam Ryder is a dude that, like, I mean, if this course is going to play 24, 25 unders, the winning score, Sam Ryder is one of those slappies that can get to a score like that. And the other one, I hate to say this because he's one of my showdown guys, my nuclear hot showdown guys that I never play at week long, but old Callum Tarran is playing good golf. And that guy, he may love a bogey, but he loves a birdie even more. And he can make a bunch of them, trust me.
Yeah, I wonder where people go in this range because, like, Michael Kim has been playing better lately and people follow him on Twitter. Vincent Whaley has been pretty solid, 25th, 28th, and 13th in his last three. So I think people could see that. I thought Davis Riley was playing a little bit better, 28th and 31st. And then Cam Champ obviously had those two really good tournaments and then fell off a little bit. But again, his price still down. It's actually a little higher. I think he was down at 71 or maybe he was 79. I can't remember, but he's right in that same range. So I think people are going to be discussing that. And then Ben Griffin, it was just a couple events ago. He was finishing in, I think it was second. So just looking at it from that perspective, I don't know exactly where people will go, but I play some of these guys. I play KH Lee some, play Davis Riley. I like your Tarran call. I like Vince Whaley, not just because of the recent results, but I think we've seen it plenty over the last couple seasons. He can score, he can go low. I'm fine with it, taking a shot on him, but this range here is going to be spread out, I think. I just don't see anyone getting super popular in here, unless it is Vince Whaley, who people hop onto just because of the last three finishes. Other than that, I think you can get unique here, and I think people would rather be in that 8K range above with all those other names we mentioned.
The ultimate leverage play, I got to get your opinion. Mav McNeely's back. What do you think?
7,500, man.
He sounded so disappointed in that.
It's like, the price is right. It's just, and then you think about it too, like, wasn't Pebble Beach, like, his best finish there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll lose narratives, right?
Loose, but I'm just saying, you throw it in there, like, man, 7,500, maybe I could get sold on that. So I don't know. I think I will star him for now. And
hey, I've played Mav McNeely at 9,700. If you think I'm not going to give him some serious consideration at 7,500, you're fooling yourself.
Yeah, I played him at least 9,200 or more, so I'm with you on that train. I just was curious. But yeah, I didn't even think of that. But you know, the other guys that I liked in there are the ones I mentioned, so we can move on and take it to the next range. This is where I do think people go, because just the natural lineup construction of what we already talked about up top, you pick a stud, you land in that 9,500 range, and then guess where you land? Right in here. So I think that's why I said above, there's a lot of those guys you could just play in that upper 7K range. Maybe some get a little bit of steam, but at the end of the day, I think this is the area when we get to Wednesday evening that we'll be looking at on our consecutive shows of the popularity plays. So I don't know exactly who it'll be right now. I've got a bit of an idea, but who do you see in this range? Who are the guys you like? And then who are you see people gravitating towards?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, this is a really good range. Like, this is the same. This is a solid, like, 7K range. Like, for low-end 7Ks, it's not as gross as I would have expected for this tournament. This is a range I'm just going to, like, just sprinkle so many guys in. Like, I feel like Troy Merritt is a dude who went through some weird putter issues. Like, he said he got the yips, but I think he's figuring that out. And I like him at tournaments like this. I always like Tyler Duncan at a course where you need a minus 25 to win. This is just, I'm going to be fully transparent. Lonto Griffin, I am a Lonto Griffin slut. I have an issue. And if it's 7,200, I just truly believe he's going to come back. And then the last one, just because I'm also a slut for this guy, CT Pan. Those are like the four that really jump off the page that I'm super excited if that's the fifth or sixth guy in my lineup.
Yeah, the Lonto Griffin thing, I'm with you on. Also, have you ever heard of the Troy Merritt flowchart?
I have not.
All right, I introduced this last year, and I think we're there again. Is it a birdie fest? Yeah. Is Troy Merritt playing? Yes. Is it a birdie fest? Yes. Is he cheap? Yes. Play Troy Merritt. So
there,
that's the answer to that one. So we're definitely in on some Troy Merritt. It fits the mold. It's what he likes to do. So fine with him at 7,200. I like Tyler Duncan. He right, like, I always confuse not with names or anything. I just really think him and Sam Ryder are like the same guy, and it really fits the mold of this course. Like you said, for not seeing it, it would make you just say, hey, here's where we can go. I do think Brandon Wu picks up some steam, but I think he's fine. Grayson Sigg, I know you've talked about this. This would be one of your showdown guys, but could he fit here just because he's making birdies? And also, let me ask you this, the strategy side of things, like we're always talking about. How do you view that from the obvious a little bit of a bit, but also the truth of the showdown guys versus the not. But also, when does the price become a factor? Because now you're like, okay, he puts up two nuclear rounds, but as long as he makes the cut, he should still be coming through versus a guy that's like 9K. And you're saying that about where you're like, yeah, that's not going to cut it at 9K. Is there a spot where the price interjects?
Yeah, anytime they're under 7,500, if you can get one nuclear round, often that will get them a top 30. And if you can get two nuclear rounds, often that will get them a top 10. And that easily pays that off from these guys that almost always do it. And the thing with Grayson Sigg is that guy makes birdies no matter where he's at. It's just on this course, I don't think there's going to be near as many bogeys for him to make. He's a guy that's a birdie bogey kind of guy, which is great for DraftKings scoring. And I think this course is not going to have many bogeys on it. So let me go ahead and get my 25 birdies from him and hope he only makes, you know, 5 or 6 bogeys the whole tournament.
Yeah, I agree. And that's a great point you brought up. I remember it was 3M. Remember Kevin Yu, a guy we're going to talk about here shortly. He went off that one round, but his price was like 7,100 or 73 that week. So it's like, of course he's going to show up because it's just that one nuclear round alone. Even Tony Finau shot like a bogey free final round, but he made one birdie. So it's like, that's not going to cut it. And this guy's also $3,000, $4,000 cheaper. So the price matters when you're figuring that stuff out. One last guy for me up here was, I guess two. You said you're a slut for Griffin. I'd be for Peter Quest. I know we just keep playing this guy. I don't know if that's going to work out, but mixed into the missed cuts, he did have a 25th. The guy I like, though, that I did want to bring up was Chad Ramey. 19th, 16th in two of his last three. And he's won on a, what did he win? Like the Corrales Punta Cana or something like that. So he's won on a coastal track before. We're taking those loose narratives. Like we said, you just play McNealy and Ramey together because they either won or almost won on a coastal track and you're good to go. But in all seriousness, guy that has been in this spot, makes birdies, two top 20s in his last three. It's more than that. So I think that's kind of the reason that I like him. I've heard some talk on Nate Lashley, Mackenzie Hughes maybe, but I don't see a lot of these other spots here that I like. Is there anybody else here you want to talk about? I guess two more. I forgot these guys still count in the range. I just mentioned Kevin Yu and Will Gordon, another guy like Sig that can just make
the commissioner. Commissioner Gordon. All right. Yes. Yeah, Mackenzie Hughes is a dude that I like more at tough tracks. He somehow can grind at those tough courses. I don't like him at Birdie Fest, weirdly enough. And the shit you were just talking about, you just went on a whole tangent about
Kevin
somebody.
Kevin Yu and Will Gordon.
No, it was before that shit. I don't remember what it was. I was going to say something about Peter Quest. Sickly. But that wasn't my hot take. Nah, fuck. Chad Ramey. There is no player on the PGA who has a greater disparity of outcomes than Chad Ramey. That guy can win every tournament and finish DFL. I swear there is nobody with a wider range. Like, are you going to get good Chad or bad Chad? And at GPPs, those are the kind of guys I love. I want my guy to finish dead last and have no sweat on Friday that he's going to make the cut, or I want him just lingering third place heading into Saturday.
Man, two things. One, I guess I'll address that versus one. I don't think people talk about that enough either, where people are like, yeah, but that's like really scary because he can miss the cut. I'm like, yeah, that's like the best part.
Yep.
Is that if he makes the cut, he's perfect for your lineups, and that's the guy that you're going to want to have in there. So just don't fill your lineup with six of those guys. Yeah. Like, you can go down in every range and find who that guy is, and you're like, oh, now I start to understand. You don't want to put six of those guys in your lineup, but having one or two to round it out, especially in this price range we're talking about, that's perfect for your chances here, and that's what can give you some real upside. You'll see it. Look at the top of your leaderboards on a Saturday afternoon, even when you have a 6-6, and it sucks, and you're like, how's this guy like 80 points ahead of me? I'm 6-6. Well, that's why. He played some scrub like Chad Ramey, who's not really a scrub, won a tournament, all these factors, but he's played someone with a higher risk, and that can bring a bigger upside. So that's definitely something. And then lastly, I don't even know if I need the 6K range. We're going to go there in a sec. I'm not saying we're not, but I just mean, like, even my guy David Lipsky is at 7K flat. So, like, there is a lot of guys here that can just make birdies in bunches down at the bottom that I honestly don't give a shit about a bomber narrative. Like, that's sweet if it happens, and I'm sure I'll have some bombers in there. Also, guess what? Anybody who's on the PGA Tour in 2023 heading into 2024, 90% of them have at least some distance in their range, if not a lot. So I'm just saying, I'm not too worried about that kind of stuff. Anything could happen. I'm just fine with it. The 7K range just looks absolutely loaded here. So anything else in the sevens? If not, take us into the 6K range. Maybe just pick 3 or 4 names that you like as you go down throughout.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, once again, I'm just going to go back to who I'm a slut for. I have a Robbie Shelton problem. There's about 5 guys I struggle with, and I've already named 2 of them. Robbie Shelton will be another one. I don't know why I like that guy so much. when you go look at his stats, you're like, what is there to like about this guy? And I don't know. He just makes birdies. I don't know any other way to say it. I watch him a lot on Shot Tracker, and I'm like, this guy has it. And he did me pretty nice at the Zozo, the last tournament we had. So yeah. Appreciate that, Robbie. Okay, twice a year, he makes me look like a genius. From there, you always know I love Peter Malnati and the bucket hat at a birdie fest. That guy, when Denny McCarthy's not at a tournament, just know Peter Malnati's the best fucking putter in that tournament. That is a fact that you can rest assured. If I'm thinking it's a long iron course, who loves to stick it close with long irons more than Chez Reavie? Usually because he has 250 yards in on every shot, no matter what the hole is. And I guess one more. If I'm pulling one without doing a lot of preparation in the 6K range, I will go with long-term talent, and I will say I think Carson Young is a real golfer, and I think that he is a dude that if you just go off talent in this range, he is more talented than almost all these golfers down there.
Yeah, I like that call. Carson Young, another guy that can score too, so I'll definitely mix him in. And so look here, Carson Young is a Chad Ramey. I mean, maybe better, yeah. I'm saying, but like at the end of the day, he's a 19th or a miscut. Like, that's fine. That's who we want. But do we want to start plugging him in with all of these other guys down here? Probably not. So it's like, that's where you got to look at it. Malnati is a Chad Ramey. He's either in the top 10 or scoring in the top 10, even if he's like, he can be like 35th and scoring in the top 20. So it's like, that's the type of guy that you want. I was trying to find, someone mentioned earlier, I saw about Kelly Kraft. What's he been up to? Oh, okay. Here's why. 25th, 16th, and 23rd in his last three. Interesting, though, because that would be like, here's the prime example. He squeezed between guys like Carl Juan and Malnati and guys like you just mentioned, where that's where you're taking the safety plan of like a Kelly Kraft who's going to get maybe could get you another 25th to 30th, or you take on some of these other guys that can get you the 11th, the 7th, the guys that are in the mix but miss that crucial birdie down the stretch that they need. So those are some of the other guys you mentioned that I thought about. Salinda,
and you got to remember, none of these guys are safe. I remember MJ Defue. What was that, 3 or 4 weeks ago? Everybody played him because he was the safe option down there. I mean, none of these guys are particularly safe. There's a reason they're in the 6Ks. Yeah. So just remember that. I mean, like, some of them are more safer than others. I will grant you that. But at the end of the day, none of these guys are particularly safe. I would bet none of them probably have a made cut equity over 60%.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Salinda came in 7th last time out. Maybe he gets a little love down here. Preston Summerhays. That's a guy I play when he plays. He's 6,400, so he can score. I don't mind him. And then I was looking at one more down here that you... Oh, I already said him. It was Carl Juan. He, again, boom bust, but a guy that can actually make the birdies. And then you just said MJ. He's 6,900 with Shelton there, so I don't hate those plays as well. But I don't have any like super hard locks or guys that I just love down here that I'm going to be way overweight on or anything early on. I definitely think the 7K and above range is more than enough. And just to note, like 7K up to 7,900, we have 34 guys with the two WDs. So there's lots of options. And that's just all I'm saying with that is the ownership is going to get spread out. There is going to be options in that range. So play your dudes and then figure it out somewhere else. Like we mentioned, a lot of good cases for certain guys. You're going to be able to get different in other spots. And then don't play too many Chad Ramies. That's the takeaway. You might have to get a title based off that. Do you have any other takes that you want to talk about within the 6K range? If not, just give me your final thoughts after walking through the slate here and going through all these tiers.
To me, this just seems like a really good tournament for me to like have some strong convictions about 3 or 4 guys that I really like, get them in the vast majority of my lineups, and then just sprinkle those other ones because I think there's going to be a lot, this tournament in particular, we know nothing about this course. We don't know who's going to play well there. So maybe kind of be a bit of a sprinkler with your last couple spots, have some convictions on some guys, get overweight on them, and then just kind of sprinkle from there. And if you find that core of 3 or 4 guys hits, you're going to be in a real good spot to do well this week because you'll have sprinkled so many other guys in there. At least that's the strategy I'm going to use and one that I implement commonly whenever I am not familiar with a course and we have no course history and we don't know what we're really looking for.
Yeah, I like that call quite a bit. And then definitely this week, I think I'm usually a guy that's going to sprinkle at the top because I think just anybody can win a tournament and all that. But here, I like a lot of those guys in that 7K range. So I'll be sprinkling more down below, looking to find the right Chad Ramey to find his way to the top of the board and then get my guys up top that I just like and roll with. And if I'm right at the top, I'll have lots of different angles in at the bottom. So still excited for it. There's still good tournaments over on DraftKings. You guys can check those out. Check out dgen75.com. James, let them know the site one more time, where to find you, anything else you want to mention before we get out of here.
At Twitter, I'm at TheDegenerate75, and my YouTube page is called Degenerate75. It's pretty simple. Come check it out. Come watch the stream this Wednesday night. 7 o'clock, it'll be on right after Andy and Tambo's show. I just go over everything you need to know to get you ready. Very similar to them. I probably will just cuss more and be yelling at a guy in the back of the room frequently. But other than that, it's pretty much the same show. So come check it out, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, we appreciate everyone who stuck with us through this show, because obviously Fast and Furious to the point, but that's kind of going to be the angle. Obviously, with Kenny back next week, I'm sure, and we'll have a Listener's League to review. We'll add a little bit more. The bet segment will be back, all of that. But realistically, right now, what we want to do is just get you the most information as possible as we have at hand, get it to you fast and furious so you got what you need to get on with your day, move on, be able to make a plan. And then from there, check out these other shows that we've got. Go to shipitnation.com, use promo code Mayo to check that out. You can find me on Twitter at Toetag and Tambo. Tidbits are for football this time of season. So on Friday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern, give or take, right before I record with Mayo, you guys will be able to check it out there. I've got all the NFL tidbits going up, but a lot of good things going on. That's going to do it for this week, guys. For Degenerate 75, for myself, Toetag and Tambo, let's win some motherfucking money. Degen Nation.
I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort, stacking penny stocks.